When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
So that we are clear, I would not have voted Home Alone, as it is not a Christmas movie. It would have been bounced to the Polar Express in round one. Even, yes, with Tom Hanks' creepy dead CGI eyes.
I was going to say, Polar Express is weird.
It's a creepy-looking movie.
Yeah, it's not.
But it's a Christmas movie. All right? It's a Christmas movie.
No, it's a train movie.
Home Alone
movie.
Is not.
It's a train movie with Christmas as its setting.
Listen, I know how you operate. We've done this long enough. All right? And I'm falling for it anyway. It's not. You're wrong. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. The final hour of action underway right now. 60 minutes separate us from the end of the radio broadcast. So there was a story going around a couple of days ago that the NBA's ratings are down 48%.
How's that midseason tournament working?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. It ain't about the midseason tournament. It ain't about anything related to the hype, to the brand.
Don't you dare blame football for this.
I'm not going to blame football for this. Quite the opposite. I'm going to blame the NBA for the NBA's ratings being down. The NBA ratings have dropped 48% since 2012. TNT games are averaging 1.8 million viewers. ESPN's ratings are at 1.77 million viewers. That is down 28% since last year. And I'm going to tell you there are two reasons for this, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion. There are two reasons for this. Reason number one is because the NBA has done what MLB has been failing to do for a very long time. And that is push stars and teams at the same time. Baseball for years tried to push teams. They tried to push, tune in to see the Yankees play the Astros this Thursday night on ESPN or whatever, right? But they didn't necessarily give me a reason that if I wasn't a New York guy or I wasn't a Houston guy that I should tune into this game. If I am not a fan of the teams playing, how are you going to get me to tune in? You got to promote the stars. You got to promote the stars. Specifically, you got to promote the next generation of the stars. You can't just push the same guys for years and years and years. This is why last year, before he had his meltdown and decided he'd rather act like an idiot than ascend to the throne of face of the NBA, this is why we were talking about Ja Morant so much last year. Because Ja Morant was set up to be the face of the NBA. And yet, not late in the season, that was when the suspension happened, but early in the season, Ja Morant wasn't being advertised. They keep going back to Hoopst. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, the old guys in the league. And don't get me wrong, you still talk about the old guys, but you gotta talk about the young guys too.
I thought LeBron quit.
LeBron ain't quit. LeBron's still hooping out, and hooping out well, by the way. He did sit down for a couple of games because he got a jacked up wheel, but then he came back and dropped a 30-burger in his very first game back out. You got to talk about the young guys, but you also do have to promote the teams, because when we get down to the end of it, it is a team sport that we are all watching. The NBA has failed its young players. It's not embracing them. It's not promoting them. It's not setting them up to take over the mantle that Braun and KD and the rest of these cats have been carrying around for a very long time now. And I think that's something that has to be corrected, as well as still promoting why it is that I should watch specifically these young and upcoming teams, right? Like, you've got to do both. But there's another issue that I have here. And I found this interesting because I was already spinning the wheels on this conversation about why this is happening. And one of the theories that I promoted, I talked about yesterday on the show. One of the theories I promoted as the Mavericks and the Warriors combined to knock down 48 three-pointers in a game and set the NBA record for most combined threes in a contest. Basketball has changed, and it has changed for the less entertaining. Now, I'm still a basketball guy. I'm not going anywhere because I love basketball, but I'm a hardcore. I'm not a casual. Which means I'm going to tune in even if the basketball's bad, because I still just love the sport. But I would say right now, to the average viewer, the games aren't really entertaining anymore, right? We talked about this earlier in the week. I spent some time yesterday saying one of the reasons that I would not allow fans to have a say in the Heisman Trophy is because we as fans have unfortunately adopted this mentality that the result of the play is more important than the play itself. That is to say, when you tune into television at night and you miss the game and you go, I got to go watch the highlights of the game, what gets shown to you? The big passes, the touchdowns, the dunks, the threes. What they don't show you is that, yes, Steph knocked down six threes, but he missed 21, right? Because that's not exciting. Problem is, that's most of the game now. And there's a reason for that. The reason I brought this up is because as I was scrolling around social media last night looking for sound for the audio blitz today, I came across a clip. I came across an interview conducted by Kobe Bryant before Kobe passed away in that helicopter accident. Sorry, didn't mean to play it again a second time, but you get it. And that's a big part of my take. The game isn't entertaining anymore. And it's not because there aren't freak athletes out there. We literally call Giannis Antetokounmpo the Greek freak. There are freak athletes out there. And at the end of the day, all of us watch sports because we want to see freak athletes do things that we normal people out here in the real world physically can't do. It's just impossible. They're superhuman, right? We want to see that, and there's entertainment value in that. But as Kobe pointed out, when it stops being about great basketball, putting the rock in the best, most advantageous positions to score and do things with, and it starts being about, well, I'm just going to drive to the hoop and we'll see what happens, and we'll wait for that spark moment, that incredible moment that we go, oh my goodness, what a dunk shot, whatever. What happens is for every dunk and three-point shot you have, you got three or four or five possessions back and forth where nothing happens to set it up, right? Go back to the days where we were actually, and again, I know I sound like an absolute boomer right now, but go back to the days where basketball was intentional. Go back to the days where players were actually moving both the ball and themselves around the basketball court in order to take advantage of situations and create those opportunities. You know how many more dunks there would be in basketball if offenses were set up and selected to create them versus drive and dish, drive and dish, drive and dish, drive and dish, and hopefully eventually somebody gets out of rotation? You used to run an offense with the goal of drawing somebody out of location. And that doesn't really happen like that anymore. That clip from Kobe Bryant was as fortuitous as anything else that I've heard in a very long time. Kobe was right, and he was right years ahead of, in my opinion, where this problem has reared its ugly head the most aggressively. And that's right now. That's right now. That's at a point where I tuned into a game the other night. The was it Warriors-Rockets, I think. There were like five consecutive possessions back and forth that all ended in turnovers by both teams, just giving the ball back and forth to each other because they would push the ball down the floor and there'd be no offense. Guys would stand around and wait for the guy with the ball to penetrate and kick. And they'd penetrate and they'd kick and they'd get it out to a wing. And wouldn't you know it, because they didn't do anything to draw the defense out of shape, all of a sudden, the guy on the wing, he's got a defender on him. So then the other four guys, what do? They stand around and they wait and they watch that guy and they wait for him to drive and dish. And then they don't draw the defense. That's got to fix, man. That's got to change. It's got to change. All right. Texter said, Rob, the other problem is your boy LeBron created the load management area, and it's sad because it's trickling into college basketball now. First off, LeBron didn't create load management. Second off, as I have pointed out on the show many times, it may not be the mentality of the, and I'm going to say this respectfully, Texter, because I don't know if this is, if you're in it or not. I understand it goes against the mentality of the older generation, but it is proven that you're a better version of yourself when you rest. Okay? It's just proven. I know you guys used to have this mentality, this work thing of you work until you die and you do nothing else. You work until you die. But it is proven now. It is proven now that if you give people a break to rest, they come back as better workers than if you just work them in the dust. That's just a fact. If you ask a 41-year-old LeBron James to play every night for five consecutive nights, you will get X amount as your average output from him for those five nights. But I ask him to play two nights and then take off a night and then play two more nights, and I give him that rest day in the middle. The average that he will play in the four games he does play by taking the rest day off is higher than you'll get from all five games production-wise, right? Like, that's just numbers. I don't think it's got anything to do with load management. I will tell you one thing it does have something to do with, and this one's hard to combat. Does anybody feel, outside of like the classic teams, the Knicks, the Lakers, is there a sense of loyalty to an NBA team anymore? It's hard to do. Like, I have a sense of loyalty to the New Orleans Pelicans, but it's very hard for me to get continuously excited about this team because we bring in a Chris Paul, and he's very good, and then he leaves, and then we bring in an Anthony Davis, and he's very good, he's the future, and then he leaves, and then you bring in a Zion Williamson and a Brandon Ingram. Zion can go get full-size, gigantic back tats, but he can't stay healthy for more than 2 weeks. Brandon Ingram shows up, he's set to break onto the scene as one of the better players in the league, and then he leaves because he's getting traded.
I saw a story that they're going to trade everybody.
Yeah.
Including Zion.
The Pelicans are about to fire sale this organization. And I mean, again, I got a lot of other solutions for him, but nope, we're just gonna blame everybody except the head coach who's been doing this for years.
They are a small market team, and they can't succeed.
For sure. You know, other than the handful who have, the Milwaukee Bucks, but again, that's the exception, not the rule. It is hard to do that, right? So Zion's going to go on. He's going to go be a Nick. He's going to go score 50 a game for the rest of his career, win 9 titles, and the Pelicans are going to go back to being the program everybody pees on.
And he'll be completely healthy the entire time.
The entire time, because that's just how it works. But I would make the argument that of all of the things we have talked about in this segment, I think Kobe hit the nail on the head a number of years ago when he said, basketball is now reactionary and accidental, not intentional and planned out, right? Phil Jackson won the championships Phil Jackson won, not just because he had elite talent like Jordan and Pippen and Bryant and O'Neal. He won because he understood how to take that elite talent and how to put it out there and run the X's and O's to give them all the best opportunity to be dogs and be successful. A lot of guys don't have that anymore. A lot of guys go out there and the offense is driving kick, driving kick, driving kick until somebody's either open for a wing and a prayer three or until a defender gets out of the way and you can slam it home. And when you combine all those things together, the NBA is struggling right now. Struggling right now. Now, those numbers are going to come up when football ends, when the Super Bowl's over. Because when the Super Bowl's over in February, you still have March, April, May, and June of NBA season. Season's very long. That might be a problem. But at the end of the day, if you don't fix it, this sport is going to suffer, like, quite a bit. Quite a bit. Take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Why are so many NFL teams just giving this absolute aura of ineptitude right now? If we looked right now at the NFL standings, and I was gonna do the blind draw wheel of football today, but I forgot, so we'll do it tomorrow. Okay, if we look up and down,
I'm starting to not like that because we're not good at it.
Yeah, it's a tough game, man. It's a tough game. Right now, I would argue that the teams we could label as inept, Lonzo, the New York Jets, I would say are inept. I don't think I would say the Patriots are inept. I think the Patriots had a 20-year run, and that requires a longer rebuild than normal. I would say the Cleveland Browns are inept. I would say the Jacksonville Jaguars are inept. I would say the Tennessee Titans are inept. I would say the LV Raiders are inept. I would say the Dallas Cowboys are inept at 6-8. I'd say they're inept. I would say the same thing about the Giants. I would say the same thing about the Bears. I would say the same thing about the Saints. I would say the same thing about... See, my question is... Is it justifiable to put the Carolina Panthers into this category as inept? I think the rebuild is progressing right now. I can't say yes to
really?
That.
Really? I think you got to go with them as being inept.
Why?
Because you just used history on some of the other ones. When's the last time they were ept?
I think they're ept right now. Bad and inept aren't the same thing. There are bad teams that I do not think are inept, the New England Patriots. There are 500-ish or ballpark teams that I do think inept, like the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think Carolina's inept. I think Carolina was inept for a very long time, and I think they're epting in the right direction right now. I think they're becoming more ept. I think they're moving away from inept and becoming out-ept, which I guess is the good one.
Okay. Well, we'll see when they throw together some more victories. They just lost to Dallas, dude.
I understand.
Mean, you can't get any more inept than that.
But as I have made an argument for all year long, dating back to the end of last season.
Your baby boy.
Not my baby boy. He is my big special boy for sure. but not my baby boy. The argument here is about expectations. It's about expectations. If your expectation to come into this year was compete for the division, remember I tried to talk you off that ledge before the season started.
So you can't be considered inept if you had low expectations.
No, I think we're talking about a different. I'm going to talk about expectations because I think a lot of people, what they immediately go to is they go, expectations, 4-13, 6-11, 10-7. That's not what I mean by expectations. My expectations are not as black and white as here's the number of wins that I need to say we're successful. There are other metrics that I am gauging. I am gauging on the development of Bryce Young. We're seeing it. Yeah, he had a step back this past weekend. But he also had five games in a row before that where he took a step forward. Five steps forward, one step back, gets you where you need to be. It is Dave Canales in the play calling. For Holmst, Rashad Beard, who we'll talk to on Thursday, was early in the season hypercritical. Over the last couple of weeks, he's come around a little bit. Said maybe this guy is, maybe the guy is who we thought the guy was going to be. Ineptitude was your ownership in David Tepper showing up and putting himself on the front page of the newspaper, showing his ass every week. We ain't really heard from David Tepper in a hot minute, have we? I've asked this question of every show nationally I've been on for the past 6 months when they've all had the same take from the outside looking in. Well, Rob, you know, I don't know if you can be good as long as David Tepper owns it. And my answer has been, okay, since he showed up in that bar in Charlotte, a bar that I went to, the last time we were up there for ACC Media Days, I went to that bar just because I was curious about it. And they had their funny little sign out front, and I got into a conversation with the bartender. And the bartender said to me, what I said to y'all was my prime theory when it happened. David Tepper was just trying to be a normal guy, except for he's a hedge fund billionaire that has no idea what it's like to be normal. So he came out trying to talk to normal people. And it's like when Princess Jasmine went down into Agrabah in disguise to try to be a normal person, and it didn't go well because she never had to be that before. So she didn't know how to do it, and she ended up getting in trouble and almost getting a hand cut off until Aladdin Abu showed up and saved her, you know?
Wow. What a reference.
And I nailed it, too. Stuck the damn landing on that one. I think he was just trying to be a man of the people, except for he's not a man of the people, and he just doesn't know how to be a man of the people. That's what it comes down to me. But I pointed out to all of them, since then, when's the last time you heard David Tepper? Honestly. Because I do this every day, and I haven't heard from David Tepper not one time since that incident, right? He stepped back. That is a mark of aptitude, not ineptitude. So what the hell is going on? Well, I can tell you, there's one common theme between all of these teams, and it 100% is meddling owners. That's it. If your team has a meddling owner, you better prepare. You're not winning a Super Bowl. You're just not. The New York Jets, Woody Johnson, is a meddling owner. He's involved in everything. He is the one for whom the direction came down. Give Aaron Rodgers everything he wants, no matter what it is. And let's make a 43-year-old man who can't run anymore our centerpiece. It's gone real bad.
Meddling's kind of an old person word. I'm just saying.
Well, all these billionaires ain't exactly spring chickens, is they?
Okay.
They're all 100.
Meddling's something you hear in Scooby-Doo.
I'm sorry. What did I grow up on?
Yeah, it was weird hearing you say meddling because I've never heard you say that before.
The youngest NFL owner right now, Lonzo, the youngest NFL owner right now is yours, Clark Hunt. Clark Hunt
like
is
in his 40s, right?
Let me see. I'm trying to find the exact number right now. Clark Hunt is 55 years old.
Okay, he looks like he's in his 40s.
Clark Hunt is 55. Michael Bidwell is 55. The Glazers are 56. Biscotti is 60. Jim Irsay is 61.
So you're saying 56 is really old?
No, I'm saying it's old enough that I feel comfortable using the word meddling. Right.
So that's what I do on this program.
Yes, you meddle. All right.
I'll take that.
Lonzo, gold medaler.
Except my medal is spelled with a T.
When I look at these teams that are described as inept, I look at the Jets. That's a meddling owner. I look at the Browns. That's a meddling owner. I look at the Jags. That's a meddling owner. I look at the Titans. That's a meddling owner with a hilarious mustache that looks like a Muppet died on his upper lip. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
No. No, I don't.
Google Tennessee Titans owner right now. Google Tennessee Titans owner mustache right now. And I want you all that are watching on the stream to enjoy this reaction. It's one of the best things I've ever seen. There it is.
Okay, you're
there
right.
There it is. Tell me I'm wrong in one way, shape, or form.
That, without a doubt, is a carcass of a Muppet.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It looks like a Muppet crawled up onto his face for warmth and then died around his lips.
That's not...
Nobody knows.
How is that?
Nobody knows. Understand it.
How do you look in the mirror and go, yeah.
You have billions of dollars and people kiss your ass all the time.
The emperor wears no clothes.
You have billions of dollars and people tell you how amazing you are all the time. And you never once look and you go, maybe I shouldn't have an upper lip mustache and a lower lip mustache. That's the same thing.
That dude has a stodgy voice. You know he does.
That dude talks like Sam Elliott if Sam Elliott sucked.
Come on now. You can't be saying those two things in this.
The Titans have a meddling owner. The Raiders have a meddling owner. The Giants have a meddling owner. The Cowboys have the meddling owner. The Bears, meddling owners. The Saints, are the Saints inept or are they just... struck by the bug slash
by the
paying
way,
the bill for being a...
I don't think that dude owns the Titans anymore.
He may have sold the team. Either way.
He did it one time, though.
The point here is every one of these teams has one thing in common. And those things are... It's Amy Adams Strunk, by the way. I knew that. Is the new owner of the Titans. She took over
Lois Lane?
A handful of years ago. No.
Okay. All
no. Right. Amy Adams Strunk.
Well, Amy Adams could have gotten married, so, I mean, and hyphenated. I didn't
And
know.
Bought a football team.
Could have.
Again, all of these teams, like, this is why I have rambled on, like Led Zeppelin, about this for as long as I have. Because if you look at the bottom half of the league, just about every one of the teams has an owner who is either way too involved... or has an ownership group who tries to run the team. And I'm not talking about the financials or the stadium or the concessions or the fan experience or that. I'm talking about the team. I'm talking about the players that suit up and play NFL football on Sundays. Every one of these bad teams, and I can include up until this year, and this is why... a large part of why I have taken the Panthers off of the inept list. Because Tepper has gotten out of the way. He's stepped back. He's not involved anymore. So I'm willing to give him the pass for now. But all these other teams that are at the bottom of the list, like you can point out, like the Saints have been banged up. The 49ers might be the most injured team in the history of the National Football League. But I don't put them on the inept list. When I put them on the inept list, teams that prevent themselves from being good, almost every one of them, I can draw it right back to their ownership group being directly involved with trying to make things happen outside of their little sphere of influence. They are David Tepper in the bar trying to be the everyman but failing, except trying to be football guys, and they're just not. Texas said, and Rob, you would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for that meddling Lonzo. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. If you want to jump in here, you're certainly welcome to do it. 844-FANFONE. That's the renewal by the Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. You can text us at 71307. 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. You can tweet us at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, or tweet everybody at the Fan Upstate. Texter said, Zoinks, Jinkies, and Jeepers are all excellent ways to describe the show. Quick, Alonzo, give Robbie Doo a Scooby snack. I am hungry. I'm a little hungry. I started...
When I find Alonzo, I will ask him to do it.
I started going to bed at a more reasonable hour. I don't know why I had this, like... It's not going to last. It never does. But I had this shift in mentality. We've had some, we've got a couple of members of the family on both sides of me and the wife. We got a couple of family members that are having some pretty big health issues right now. And I'm old enough, great one, that I'm at a point now that when like family members start having major health issues, I'm like, oh God, I'm next. Oh God. It's me next. I'm up. So I hit this point last week where I'm like, I got to start taking care of myself, man. Like I've gone back to eating good, like eating real good. I've been getting like 6-7 hours of sleep the last few nights. It is a game changer, man. It feels spectacular. The problem is, and this is a major problem, just because of the schedule I'm on doing the morning show. The problem I'm having right now, great one, is that getting my full few, you know, 6-8 hours of sleep on a routine nightly basis the last couple of weeks, now I'm finding that I actually am hungry in the mornings. I've never been a breakfast guy, right? I've never been a breakfast guy. I've never been interested in it. And now all of the sudden, like I'm coming into work in the morning and I'm like, dadgummit, I want breakfast, except for nobody's open when I'm on my way to work.
Yeah, even some places that are advertised to being open 24 hours, they are not.
Yeah.
There's one time I was like something happened at home and I couldn't, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll just roll by an establishment down the road that's used to be open 24 hours and the lights are on and there are people there, but they're not open.
Yeah. I basically have at my usage that early, the Waffle House. But I'll tell you what I'm not doing is getting up another 45 minutes earlier to hit the Waho in the AM. Right,
we need a Denny's around here.
One over by my house. I'm not waking up another 45 minutes earlier to hit a Denny's.
But couldn't? Do they have curbside?
That's a great question.
So you could order it ahead of time while you're getting ready, and then roll by there on your way. Get here while you're doing your show.
I'm telling you, listen,
enjoy some Denny's.
If Waho will bring it out to my car, that's a game changer for sure, for sure. But I'm just not there yet. Anyway, point is, yes, Texter, I could use the Scooby snack. I am dying right now. I am hungry. Texas said, Rob, I've watched more women's basketball this year because of Caitlin Clark than I have the NBA in the last 10 years. Look, there is an interesting conversation going on around the WNBA right now. If you missed it, Caitlin Clark was named Sports Illustrated Athlete of the Year last week. And like, obviously, right? Like, Caitlin Clark was a national phenomenon, both at Iowa and once she got drafted to the Indiana Fever. The audience is, I don't remember which team. I want to say it was the Mystics. In fact, I know it was the Mystics because the owner of the Mystics came out and said that Sports Illustrated should have put the entire WNBA on the cover. Like, no, it shouldn't have been one player. It should have been the whole NBA. Somebody went and did the deep dive and found out, great one, that of the Mystics home attendance this year, something like 62% of it was the three times that Caitlin Clark and the Fever played there. 62% came when one out-of-town team and one player on that team came to play. Listen, I understand if I am a WNBA vet who is a long time vested in this league, and now here comes Caitlin Clark, and like now the league grows, I can understand how they'd be upset. But you got to promote the stars, right? You got to promote the stars. This is why there was the whole fight about should Caitlin Clark be an all-star? Should she? She absolutely should have been selected to Team USA Basketball. Not selecting Caitlin Clark to Team USA Basketball because you wanted to reserve a spot for players like Deanna Taurasi at what, 39 years old or whatever she is. That ain't it, man. That ain't it. And what I don't need to happen as I continue to try to assist in the growth of the WNBA is for the NBA to get to the point where they're in the same boat. It just can't happen. It just can't happen. Texter said, hey, Todd. Well, at least he didn't call me Rod, I guess. Hey, Todd, it's Kane. It's Kane. He's got a shtick now. Kane's got his own shtick, his own gimmick now. I get it. I like it. Nice job, Kane. He said, art is not objective, but subjective. People will project their own perspectives to whatever movies they watch. You will never change their minds about it. I get it, but there is a difference between I interpreted the theme of this film a certain way versus saying a thing is a thing that it ain't. There's a difference, right? If I watch Robin Hood, some people are going to see Robin Hood as a vigilante character. Some are going to see him as a superhero character. Some are going to see him as an anti-hero character who works in the gray areas. You know what you're not going to do? You're not going to say, it's an astronaut movie. No, it's not. There is no interpretation where that is correct. It's not. Right. It's just not that.
All right, that analogy is so bad, dude. An astronaut. I mean, I don't.
That's literally the point, Lonzo.
No, it's not.
Literally the point.
Hey, it's okay. Take an L. It's okay to take
an L. It's not an L.
You took an L today on this.
I did not take an L on
you
this.
You absolutely did.
I'm spot on, deadly accurate and correct.
Like a scarlet letter, there's a big L on your forehead right now. I see it.
If somebody watches Robin Hood and they say, you know what, to me, Robin Hood actually isn't a good guy because while the principle is there, murder's not good, then I'd go, okay, I understand how you see it that way. I may not agree with you, but I understand the thing. If somebody watches it and they say, actually, it's a superhero movie, I'd go, I get it. Robin Hood trained his abilities with a bow and arrow to do things that other people could not do. That makes sense. That's a take on the theme.
Could you say he's a socialist?
You absolutely could if you want to. And you could have you could even go one step further and have the discussion about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing based on the setting, time, and place of the movie. What you can't do is say that it's a space drama. It's not. It's just not that. There's no way to interpret that that's what it is.
Your analogy still doesn't work.
Yes, it does. It because it's setting of the movie versus themes of the movie.
There's no outer space in Robin Hood. There's Christmas in all those movies.
Fine, call it a Christmas Western. Movies. Is it a Western?
There's no Western. It's in a forest in England.
Lonzo doesn't get my point. The rest of you do because I'm right. Cornchip texts the show.
The rest of them are on my side. What are you talking about?
Cornchip texts the show and said, according to Wikipedia, Home Alone and Die Hard are Christmas movies, and Wikipedia is never wrong.
Never.
Texter says, is Blazing Saddles a Western? I am going to say, actually, Blazing Saddles is a Western. Now, it is not just a Western because it is set in a obviously satirical version of the West. But it is a Western in that it follows, while doing so hilariously, the plot and the theme and the messages of a traditional Western movie. A small frontier Western community that has to band together to take themselves back from a group of bad guys coming in looking to take advantage of them and profit, and also tap dancing number at the end. Classic Western. Classic Western. So I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Texter says, Rob, as far as the Heisman Trophy conversation, give actual stats about the viewership of college football. Only the NFL ranks higher. Your argument that no one watches is weak. That's from Spartanburg J. That wasn't my argument, Spartanburg J. I'm not arguing nobody. You're not listening to me. I'm not arguing, Spartanburg J.
Well, after the Christmas take, man, it's hard to. It's really difficult.
I'm not arguing nobody watches college football. What my argument was if you are going to vote on the Heisman Trophy, I need to trust that you are educated and informed on the people who are candidates for the Heisman Trophy. And what I'm going to say is, you're right. Only the NFL ranks higher. Go find Boise State's viewership numbers for me. Go find Miami's viewership numbers for me. See, because this is where you go the other direction, which is, yes, you are correct. College football's numbers are through the roof, and they will be. And these playoff games are going to be unreal.
We'll see.
Call the shot. They absolutely will be.
No. We'll see, because remember, they're going head-to-head with NFL this Saturday.
I agree.
I'm very curious about this.
So regardless of what those numbers come out to be, there is a difference between I watched college football and I watched Boise State and therefore am qualified to have an opinion on whether or not Ashton Janti or Travis Hunter is the better player. You see the difference? There's a difference between nobody's watching college football, which is not at all what I argued, Jay, and nobody watched Ashton Janti in a way that I am comfortable allowing fans to have an argument. Those are two different conversations.
Almost got me there, but didn't.
Texter said Independence Day is a Christmas movie under the current guidelines. That's correct. I want Independence Day on this bracket next year.
He just mentioned that because space was involved. All right, the first thing that's Xing is molded bread.
Which restaurant's in trouble for this?
Oh, no, it's not a restaurant.
It's not a restaurant?
Okay, Dan Campbell, just about 20 minutes or 30 minutes or so, had a major quote on a radio show about fillets and molded bread. There are F-bombs involved, but it is all over the place right now. And so not enough time to be edited or anything, but I'm sure it will make the audio blitz tomorrow.
Well, then let me go ahead and tell you, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, that might be bat and lead off.
Yes.
It might be bat and lead off.
It's being compared to the kneecaps. So I'm just, but it is the internet. Without me actually hearing it, I don't know. And it's going to be a matter of opinion anyway. The next thing that's Xing is Karate Kid Legends.
Karate Kid Legends. Now, is this the Netflix show?
No. No, that's different. Okay.
That's Cobra Kai.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So the trailer, we've talked about this before, but you probably forgot. Karate Kid Legends, the trailer just dropped. So this has Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan in it.
Jackie Chan.
Yes, because remember, he was in the remake of Karate Kid.
Yep.
So both of them are in it. I haven't heard it, but watching it, it looks pretty good, the trailer does.
Okay. I mean, I'm in. Listen,
he drives in into Miyagi's old house, and the cars are still out there, and there's a memorial to Mr. Miyagi in the house. I got to hear the sound on this, but it is
I know what we're doing the second the show's over.
Absolutely. And I think the movie drops in May, so something to look forward to. Maybe this year we have a good crop of movies to go watch. All right, the next thing that's Xing, speaking of really, really bad movies, horrible movies, Star Wars is Xing.
Star Wars. Okay, speaking of really bad, terrible movies, Star Wars is Xing. So what terrible Star Wars take are you about to give me?
8 years ago today, the worst movie in the Star Wars franchise was released.
So we are all about to celebrate the anniversary of one of the best Star Wars projects ever, Rogue One. Which is an incredible movie in every way, shape, and form. The storytelling is great. The character work is great. The cinematography is great. And the lead in to Star Wars A New Hope, a story which required that to happen to be told. Star Wars Rogue One is an incredible movie. It is one of my two favorite modern Star Wars era projects, the other being Andor. Andor's phenomenal.
Dude, I'm not going to call you out. Have you watched every episode of Andor?
I have not watched the most recent one.
Recent? Dude, it was out like a year ago.
The last episode. I am not fully caught up on it.
Okay.
But right. I loved it.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet.
Enough to binge it.
I got to go finish it, though.
You walked into that. Well,
I got distracted by everything else.
Finally, the last thing is actually
Becky Lynch.
Is, no, Dabo Sweeney.
We're going to talk about Becky Lynch instead. Dabo Sweeney's trending, obviously, because he signed his first transfer portal skill position player.
We might have talked about that Thursday.
But a wide receiver out of Southeast Missouri State.
No, you talk about it now, so I don't have to talk about it Thursday. I'm fine with that.
Becky Lynch, the man, Becky Lynch, has signed
she's
on
a guy?
To be the cast, so to be in the cast.
She's going
to
be the entire cast.
I'd sign up for it if she was. She has signed on to be a new cast member of the next Star Trek project. And I want you to know, because I know Becky Lynch is a nerd.
I think it's a continuing project, by the way.
Whatever it is.
I haven't watched it, but I'm pretty sure.
She is a nerd at heart, and this matters to her. I am happy to see the man be the man on the final frontier. I just want her whooping some alien ass is what I'm going for here.
I got to look it up. I haven't looked it up. I have no idea what role she plays. So she could be, I hope she's a Ferengi, because that'd be hilarious.
I don't care. As long as I get to see her suplex some big green aliens, I'm good.
She's pretty small. I doubt she's going to be doing that.
Your ability to hate on everything this woman does for absolutely no reason other than you met Charlotte Flair one time is spectacular.
I interviewed her right here in the studio.
Y'all have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We will see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.